Hey guys, it's Nathan. Before we start this week's show, I wanted to make a note that we had originally recorded an interview with special guest Robert Ulberg, the founder of Street Pass Princeton, who organizes Street Pass events in, you guessed it, Princeton. Unfortunately, the audio kind of got out of sync and messed up, and it just really wasn't up to standard. So I went ahead and did what I could with it, and I may or may not throw it at the end of the show. But for now, I would just like you to enjoy our regularly scheduled newscast, which will have an awkward start because it started from a break. I guess I'll introduce everyone for you. This is the NWR newscast, episode 52 for Saturday. What month is it? May 7th. The guy with the kind of who says Mario accent, that's Neil. The guy with the scratchier voice that talks about dinosaurs and makes kind of lewd, inappropriate jokes, that's Zach. And the kindly older gentleman, that's Mr. Andy Gergen. And of course, the lovely voice you're hearing right now is Nathan Mustafa. So, without further ado, I present to you the NWR newscast. Thanks for listening.
Game Boy Advance. ならではのスリリングな4人対戦マリオカートアドバンス。
And we're back, and we're going to put some news in your ear. First up, let's hit the ground running and talk about our big scoop. Thanks to Aaron Kalutzka's Ninja Ways, we got to reveal that Nintendo Selects are a real thing. It's going to be a budget line of Wii games, and the first batch, according to the images that we have, is going to be Mario Super Sluggers, Twilight Princess, Wii Sports, and
sold.
Animal Crossing City Folk, and they're going to be $20. Also, the Wii price drop looks like it's going to be in effect. I believe it's later this month. It's going to be $150 and come with a copy of Wii Sports, Mario Kart Wii, and
wow.
A Wii Remote.
Wait a minute.
And what
Damn.
Else? What'd you say
You're
at the end
giving
there?
Giving that shit away.
So wait a minute. You're telling me that the new Wii. Budget-priced Wii is going to come with a copy of Wii Sports? That does not sound right.
Oh, wait. No.
Wii Sports
Shit.
Is actually going to be one of the four titles they're releasing on a budget line of $20 games.
That's
so if you want Wii Sports, after they drop the price, you're going to need to go buy the game on the store shelf, which is a brand new thing for American consumers. Right.
Yeah, but, Mario Kart Wii, still, much better deal than getting Wii Sports, I think.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, well, at this point, if you're buying a new Wii and you want to get Wii Sports, it's $170 then. Still a price drop.
True.
Yeah, still a price drop, and plus an included game.
Yeah,
and a useless plastic wheel.
I mean, I'll be honest, some people I know actually like the Wii Wheel. Like, I got my mom to play Mario
Kart
with the Wii Wheel.
Yeah, you can make one out of a stale bagel if you needed to.
You can make it out of a zapper that you've melted down.
You know what's funny? Memorex has a Wii Wheel that has a Motion Plus or like a spot where you can put the Motion Plus attached to the wheel, and apparently they had that wheel because they're like Nintendo totalists that they were
doing.
That's
awesome.
Something. That sounds
that
like
I hope
a practical joke where they're taking off. Like, it also comes the vitality sensor attached to the side. Like, it's all the peripherals that never.
Yeah,
it's
a vitality
and
sensor dongle on
it. Yeah, and the Wii Zapper.
God.
Just everything. But, Nintendo Select seems like a good idea. None of these games, I've owned all of these games at some point. I don't own Animal Crossing anymore, but I'm not going to go rebuy it. But, it's good for people who want it. I actually did put up my copy of Mario Super Sluggers up on half.com for a little over $20. in hopes that I will be able to make some sort of money, and if I ever want to get it again, hey, it's $20 and I'm
same with Twilight Princess for me. And you know what? I really wish they had put Mario Kart Wii on this line. You know, I don't have a copy of that still. I kind of want it just in case, you know, the situation ever arises, but I don't feel like going out and plunking the still $50 on it.
I mean, I think that the problem with that is that Mario Kart Wii is still selling. If you look at these four titles that are included.
Oh, yeah, they definitely
Wii Sports aside, which has been tested before, but like, yeah, Twilight Princess, Animal Crossing, and Sluggers are all probably done selling a lot of copies, whereas Mario Kart Wii, I'm pretty sure, still sells.
I'm curious why Sluggers and not Mario Strikers Charged. Because, you know.
Those are two different things.
Well, I'm just curious why they picked one over the other. I mean, I personally would rather have Strikers Charged.
Yeah.
Strikers Charged is, I mean, it's, I guess it's more of a complete game because when it comes down to it, like, I think Super Sluggers is a lot of fun, but that is, like, just the GameCube game.
Well, I mean, you could say that about a lot of Wii games, but.
Yeah. I mean, but Strikers Charged is a pretty big step up from the GameCube version, whereas, the Mario Baseball game on the GameCube and Wii version, literally the only difference is, like, it's kind of crappy motion controls that aren't actually like Wii Sports at all.
You could say that about a lot of Wii games.
But, yeah, I mean, it's cool. I don't think any of us will really disagree with this.
The first budget-priced Zelda game?
Oh.
I don't know.
No, I think Wind Waker.
Wind Waker was totally a player's choice. It's just that they haven't done a player's choice line since GameCube, so it's been a while. Or actually, I think Game Boy Advance had one, like, after the DS launch.
I wish they would have upgraded Twilight Princess in this version to have classic controller
Wind Waker
support.
Graphics.
That's asking a lot.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
No, it's
the new
not.
Man is gonna have
it's not asking a lot.
That's cool.
You know,
it's asking them to modify the code of the game. That's a lot.
Well, I mean, they're selling it to you. You know, it's not like they're coming to your door and just presenting it to you.
Let's
for
put
free.
It this way: I saw on a when I bought my parents a Wii for Christmas a couple years ago, I saw that they modified the disc of Wii Sports to show the jacket on the remote during the warning screens, and that surprised me.
I'm not saying that it's
surprising.
A lot when compared to their normal standard of care for post game. Content or additions or anything like that, but I just mean from a general standpoint, it's not a lot
no,
to do.
No, it's not. It's
you know,
not develop, a,
developers
yeah.
add things to their games all the time. It's just Nintendo that's hesitant to do it.
Well, I think it's also that you do realize that Twilight Princess came out 4.5 years ago. So
I just we do we just got a
still
we
added
just,
content to
we
Conduit
just got
too,
Beyond
Good
and Evil HD. You know, a new release of the game, a budget release of a game. With updated controls and graphics.
One, I don't think, I mean, Ocarina of Time aside, I mean, and that's a full-scale, like, you know, revamp and re-release of that game. But if they're just literally releasing the same game again, I mean, that's what they're doing. They're just releasing the same game again. And you know what? They'll make money on it. Whereas if they put development time on it into it, they might not make that much money.
You don't think a lot of people you know would go out and buy a $20 copy of Twilight Princess if they knew it, a re-buy Twilight Princess if they knew it had classic controller support?
Well, no, because those people probably would have bought the GameCube version. It meant that much to them.
It does mean a lot to me, but the GameCube version is very cost prohibitive. It's like $60 right now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so that's
Holy
not an option
shit.
For me, you know?
Well, I mean, the Wii version is still pretty expensive, too.
It is, but it also doesn't have, you know, regular dude controller support.
And I think the other problem that you have with that is that the entire game is actually flipped. And, I mean, you would think that maybe it would be easy because they had, or even just add GameCube controller support, but, I mean, I don't know.
Neil, I really don't think it would be that difficult of a transformation. I think when considering their laziness, it's just flat out laziness. Then yeah, I guess it's a monumental effort, but another developer would easily release this kind of thing via download, just update, you know, ba-dunk, free for you here. But, you know,
that's
one of the things
you.
That upsets
I see
me.
I see where Nintendo's coming from in this case. I mean, as far as the initial release, it's because
I think you're just
going,
being an apologist. Well, I really don't think you should cut them as much slack.
I see where Nintendo's coming from, at least with the initial release of the game. Because why are you going to release your brand new $250 console that people are supposed to care about and have, you know, your big franchise on it has support for the GameCube controller.
Consideration for the consumer. And I think for this edition, they should have it.
I just don't, think it's worth the company's
time to
change it.
What I noticed is that all four of these games are essentially launch titles for the Wii. And I think, first, the Wii sales are dried up so much that Nintendo's no longer... I think Nintendo honestly believes that we all kept Twilight Princess. Because they're Nintendo, and why would we ever sell something Nintendo sold to us? I think this Player's Choice version of Twilight Princess...
Are you implying that Nintendo's never put out a game knowing full well that people that already own the game are going to purchase it again? Because that's not uncommon for Nintendo at all.
I mean, just look at the Game Boy Advance period.
Oh, no, I know what you're saying. No, I know what you're saying. But what I'm saying is that these four games are being re-released in their original form because Nintendo is releasing them to the five or six people who haven't bought a Wii yet.
Yeah.
Zach, you should look at the sales. I mean, Wii sales are down, but it's not like it's selling to 10 people. Like, they're still, I mean, they're still ahead of PS3, although PS3 is gaining,
no,
and they're not
that
far behind.
But
he's saying the four people that don't
have
these games.
Okay.
And my main point is that I don't think it's too much to ask to add physical controller support to a game that is already a GameCube game.
Oh no, I'm taking the cynical view that Nintendo, that's not Nintendo's goal here. It would be nice, but I don't
think that's their goal
with these re-releases. They're trying to draw blood.
I think part of what you're asking here,
these,
Nathan, is you're asking them to acknowledge that the controls they put on the game aren't good enough, and they'll never do that.
But you could, here's the thing, Neil, you could always spin these things in a positive way. They have very intelligent PR people working for them, and it wouldn't be that hard just to say, look, we want to give you options.
You want to make it the definitive version of Twilight Princess.
Yeah. This is a cheap version for people that don't own the game. Look, for those of you that really wanted that controller support, this edition's cheap. Go out and
buy it. I'm not saying I don't want it.
The humorous thing about this, Nintendo Selects hasn't been officially announced yet. So this very well could be, by the time this episode posts, Nathan could be right and they actually did do this, but we don't know. I mean, I doubt it, but
I will be very pleased if they did it, because I think I would definitely rebuy the game, and that's what I'm saying. It's stupid for them not to do it because they will make money on it. Right here, they've got two people that will go out and buy it for sure. You know,
if I could sell a copy of Twilight Princess for like $20, I'd go out and buy it.
That makes the issue that they have to put development time into it just a moot point, because the hardcore crowd will rebuy their game, and that gives them a guaranteed install base for something that otherwise people might not pick up. Because frankly, Twilight Princess doesn't really have an appealing cover. It probably doesn't look appealing to the casual gamer, and that $20 price point might not even be enough for those people that just don't buy software.
However, if they are going to do as much of a push for Zelda's 25th anniversary, it could renew interest in the series for other people. And if they're going to do a push for the new Wii game, which is likely coming out this fall, or even 3DS Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess coming out in this budget line could be very appealing to people playing Ocarina of Time on 3DS for the first time.
That's probably not the casual consumer. We have later in the notes that Nintendo's releasing a very limited amount of Ocarina of Time cartridges, and that probably reflects that they don't think they're going to get that big of a sell on it.
That's also...
selling it to us.
That also should be noted that that's a rumor.
Yeah.
Really?
That mainly pertains to Japan, and that's because with Spirit Tracks, they produced a shit ton of copies and got burned.
Okay.
Not that Spirit Tracks sold terribly, it's just that it didn't sell, you know, like, splendiferally. And those are kind of unsubstantiated reports as far as I know. It's a lot of rumors, and it's probably true that they're not releasing as much, but I don't think that's reflecting, like... They don't think the game's going to sell at all, and they don't expect it to sell.
I think their expectation is that they know who it will sell to, and that's us.
I kind of disagree, because you would be surprised at how many kids.
There are a lot of people that have.
There are a lot of people who haven't played.
There are a lot of people that have nostalgia for that game. You're right, but do they own a 3DS?
There are a lot of people that have nostalgia for it, and there's also a lot of people that haven't played it.
Right. But, then again,
the
they look at it and they see
people who own a 3DS and people who haven't played Ocarina of Time. That's a pretty small cross section.
I mean, well, the Venn diagram of people over the age of 20 that own a 3DS and haven't played Ocarina of Time is probably very small. But the Venn diagram of people under the age of 20 who have a 3DS and haven't played Ocarina of Time is probably a lot more than you'd think.
Yeah, but then I would
counter that. But are they likely to pick it up?
Those people, like, let's say teenagers right now, when Ocarina of Time came out, they were like, what, 4?
Yeah. But are those people going to buy the game?
If they like Zelda,
how many kids, how many new gamers like Zelda?
Although let me tell you this, if I could just butt in for a second. Not new gamers, but gamers who are 20 years old, 21, you know, they were raised on the Dreamcast or the PS2. They're going to look at Ocarina of Time and they're going to say, this looks like a PS1
right. That's my point.
Game. Why would I spend $40 on this? And we're on the sidelines saying, holy fuck, this game is amazing. And they're going to be like, but it looks like ass.
And that's up to, once again, how we were talking about before, Nintendo's PR team, to be like, hey guys, this is the greatest fucking game ever. Play it. Which, if you've seen any trailers, that's pretty much
and
what
that's
it
a
is.
Hard sell for the new crowd that doesn't have that built-in nostalgia, and they don't have a reverence for those games. And you know what? If I grew up in and I only experienced, say, the Wii generation, you know, because there are people that, you know, they don't start gaming at age 1.
Yeah.
So this generation, the Xbox generation, 360, may have been their first wave of consoles. If all they had played is Twilight Princess, I wouldn't care for Zelda.
We should bump in here and move on to the next topic of argument.
This was a good chat.
Yeah,
I'm glad we had it.
The next rumor on the list of the rumor roundup.
Before, if you want to hear us continue that, write in with your thoughts to newscast@nintendoworldreport.com.
Brilliant.
Okay, hey. Indeed.
And someday we'll have that Zelda.
Yeah. Oh no, that'll
Zelda
definitely be happening
discussion.
This summer, guys. So get pumped.
Bloodbath. Yeah, let's do it.
We should all be in the same room
so
we can
Zach and
each
Andy
other
get your
disagree.
Ass to E3.
Majora's Mask.
You just hear
man,
Zach
suck.
Punch him in the face.
Minish
Wind Waker's
crap.
Better asshole.
Minish crap.
Although I do have to say,
I don't think anyone's gonna.
For anyone wanting an update, after replaying Wind Waker, that is my favorite Zelda game by far.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, welcome to the club, holy shit.
See, I'm replaying Link to the Past, and I'm kind of leaning that way now.
Yeah. It's probably like just whatever Zelda game that I
Link
played
the
most
past.
Recently.
You're right, actually.
Neil, you know what my favorite part of Wind Waker is? It's, well, everything, but the pirate
Dude.
Theme, the music that plays on the pirate ship
yeah,
is
yeah.
so charming.
I'm going to cut you off,
dude,
Zach.
The little
We're saving this for the summer. So,
oh, but when you go down to Hyrule,
let's go to Cafe Rumor Roundup.
Can we just wallow in Zelda for a bit? Maybe. Okay, Cafe.
Eight gigabits of flash memory is what Kotaku's saying, and 25 gigabytes optical discs. As far as the flash memory, which I know Nathan's has got some words to say, the size of the discs might imply that we're dealing with a Blu-ray system. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that could be cool.
That could be cool.
Too bad we don't have anywhere to put our freaking DLC on that 8 gigs of flash. And of course, this is a rumor, but I think that's a dumb move if Nintendo.
And I think I think it's a dumb move, but I also think it's a very believable move.
I agree.
It is. It's a stupid, believable thing.
That's what makes it frustrating.
It's just like that dumb relative you have. You know, you love them. You have to love them. But God, if they don't do the things that frustrate you the most. What is this?
Isn't flash memory more expensive to produce than
I don't know.
It depends on
at this
thing,
point.
Maybe that depends on the quantity of the flash memory.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you have to save up flash cards I mean, you're spending more ultimately for 64 gigs of flash memory than you would on a hard
drive, even a 30 gigabyte hard drive that came in my freaking 5-year-old Microsoft Zune would be good enough, you know. But
I think you have some other things to consider here, and that's that, like, flash memory is quieter, it's cooler, fewer moving parts, it's smaller. All of those things fit the aesthetic that Nintendo has, you know, established.
I mean, hey, if Nintendo wants to put a 20 gig or a 30 gig, I'd say 30 gigs more acceptable, solid state drive in my Wii, yeah, go ahead. But they're not going to do that. Phone has more memory.
I'm still not convinced you're going to need more than that on a Nintendo console. That's my worry. If they're putting 8 gigs of flash memory on there, that means nothing to put on it.
No. Here's the thing. This limits Nintendo's entry into the new generation of consoles. Not only can they not put a robust virtual console that includes up-res GameCube games or just progressive scan-enabled GameCube games, but they also can't have the same arcade games that we see on other platforms. Because who's going to want to download something that takes up a quarter of their memory? I think Nintendo's just going to opt out on that content. And then the significant downloadable content packs that we see for how are we going to get that?
This is kind of like the low shipments of Ocarina where, I mean, it is a rumor. And while this is true, like, that sucks.
But it's so freaking believable. That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's even more disappointing. But then again, that could be why it's a rumor and why Kotaku picked up on it is that someone said it to them. Mm-hmm. And was like, well, that sounds really believable and Nintendo-like.
Maybe it's 8 gigs of RAM.
God, that would be nice. Yeah.
Could somebody tell me why
it lets you pull data off a hard drive and store it for immediate use inside of a game?
It's just a
random access memory.
It's a faster way to access
game saves.
It keeps all the data that the game needs in more of a more easily accessible level.
Yeah.
Ooh. So like when a game is loading on my PS2 or something, it's
into the RAM.
Loading up.
It's like if you go camping, you bring a bunch of crap with you and leave it at the tent. But if you want to go backpacking while you're camping, you bring a backpack. So like all the shit you have on you in your backpack, that's the RAM. But all the shit you brought camping, that's the disc. That's my analogy.
I'm smiling so much now.
That was a
perfect
good
analogy.
So if you want quick
it also takes a long time to. It takes a long time to go back to the car and get that stuff out.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this will suck a lot if we only have 8 gigs of memory on the cafe.
Am I incorrect in my memory that some Nintendo executive promised us a hard drive?
I don't think any executive has ever promised anything for the future for a future product.
I mean, they usually talk in general terms without promising anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a believable move. I, right now, am not believing anything that I read about the next console. I think it's all rumor. I mean, I know the tablet touchscreen thing is kind of believable. Yeah. I'm grading everything on a scale of bullshit to potentially not bullshit. And this is sitting right there at the top at potentially not bullshit. But honestly, like,
it just makes E3 all the more interesting, dude.
I remember all of the crazy-ass theories people had before the Wii controller was announced of how it was going to be revolutionary. And, you know, I mean, they didn't... No one really ever got it right on those rumors, so I'm not reading anything into these rumors until I hear them say it, let's put it that way.
You put it up your ass and flex your butt
all
muscles.
All right, so
let's go into
some good news, or at least once again, kind of rumorish stuff. The voice actor's website, someone who's voicing a main character in the game Xenoblade, they said that Xenoblade's coming to USA. It's a British actor said on his website that he's voicing, you know, some character for Xenoblade, which is coming out in Europe and USA in autumn 2011, which kind of implies that we will be getting Xenoblade I think roughly September or October. That's kind of cool. I don't think we really have too much to say about that game. I would definitely be very interested to check out this game when it comes out. This isn't the last story really interests me. I don't know if you guys give a crap about either game, but I do. I'll take that as a no.
Sorry. I was stepping out for a half second and back.
Andy, do you give a crap about Xenoblade or The Last Story?
No, I'm not a JRPG fan. I wish them the best among the fans.
I'm alone.
Here.
I'll play them
on the 3DS, gladly. I just don't have the time to sit in front of my TV.
They come out and I buy them, maybe I will talk about them on the show. So, you guys will listen and fall asleep. Or I'll talk Zach into buying it. Because he's weak-willed like that. Read the Dragon Quest IX entry in the 30 top DS games, and you'll know.
Zach, I hear Xenoblade has some female parts in it.
Likely does.
I would need.
Let me render some for you. Go to www.sexylays.com. That's actually all Xenoblade screenshots. Yeah.
Oh wow! Damn. Yeah,
I bet that's a website.
So, speaking of three double D graphics,
that was a guess, by the way.
Cave Story 3D is releasing on August 9th instead of the original June 28th date, and it's going to be $40, which I think the price is kind of high. But I mean, it's going to add a new stage. They haven't really done any more details, and it's going to be in 3D and have these new graphics, and that's about it.
Maybe he'll be able to switch between the original graphics,
that would
the
be
WiiWare
kind of
graphics,
hysterical.
And the 3D graphics. Because
if they're going to change the game as much as they're saying.
As a guy who only pays full retail price for a game about once or twice a year, I'm very excited about... That's one of them.
Is that game NCAA?
Portal 2 was the other one this year, I guess, although that came with a whole bunch of deals. But, like, I'm very excited about Portal 2 because I know that whenever I do play it, I'll have gotten it for a deal, probably somehow. So, I don't know if I'll get it used or what, but I mean, yeah, I'm not paying.
You mean
Cave
Story? You
it.
Said Portal 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was confused for a second. I'm like, but you did get it for a deal.
When I do play Cave Story 3D and I look forward to playing it, I think it's going to be a great game. I think it lends itself well to the platform. I want to see the new graphics, but I'm not paying $40 for it.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to play it for however
one
much I
lucky
play it,
person on this show will likely review it. And then the other two people, well, either we'll pass it around, like we're doing Andy's copy of Portal 2, or one person will play it, and the other two people will be like, yeah, I'll wait for a price drop.
Yep.
And speaking of games being re-released in some fashion on 3DS, Bit Trip Saga is a real thing, coming out on 3DS this summer. It's going to be all six Bit Trip games, 3D graphics.
What's the 3D gonna do for that series?
Yeah, that actually.
I mean, I think
the
visuals
really cool.
will look incredible in this game because I think it lends itself really well to the 3D, and it might actually make it easier to play because I usually get very distracted by the stuff that's going on in the background and like Beat and Core and Flux. Yeah, that was the final one. But I get very distracted by those visuals when I'm playing those games in the background, and I think the 3D might help out separating those visuals. So you still have the effect of, you know, having all that crazy shit going on in the background, but it doesn't interrupt the gameplay.
I get very distracted by Lara Croft.
Yeah, but that's not like
a
crazy, like, communist Pong game.
I think it's a good fit for the platform, actually.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Yeah, I mean, it's something how we were talking about how, you know, Cave Story 3D, not going to pay full price for this. I would probably pay full price for this game. I believe it's been confirmed
for
$40. And exactly. I know I've seen someone do the math. If you were to buy every single game on WiiWare...
It's $2 cheaper,
yeah,
right?
It's $2 cheaper.
I just did the math, yeah.
However, they are, I believe a lot of those games are out on iPhone and stuff like that for a lot cheaper.
They're also out on iOS for like a dollar.
I mean, that's where that argument becomes moot.
But that's only Bit Trip Beat that's out, but they're releasing the rest of them.
I thought Runner came out on PC.
Well, you said iOS. It actually, Bit Trip Beat, I like it on the iPad a lot better than I did on the Wii because you drag the paddle.
Yeah, and I imagine, that will probably be how these control. I'd be actually interested to see what they do for the ones that require motion, how they would control.
Well, they could, of course, turn off 3D and let you use the gyroscope, but I would really like just D-pad controls.
I mean, for a lot of them, that's how you do, like, you know, core and runner. That's how you play those games. But I'd be interested to see how the shooter one works. Well, I mean, the shooter one was playable with classic controller. I guess really the only two that will be fundamentally changed a little bit will be Beat and Flux. But Beat's been done with a touchscreen before, so.
There's no way you can play Beat with a D-pad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could.
But if they do the touchscreen, either you're sliding the, you're not directly placing your stylus on the paddle, so it'll just have to be relative motion if they want to use the 3D effect on the top screen, or they'll just have to let you use a D-pad. And that's essentially the same thing. You know, cause I don't want to have to keep, either they use the entire screen as a slider, or they don't, because I don't want to have to pay attention to the bottom screen at all. You know?
Yeah.
All right. That's the news.
Okay. That's it.
Let's do one piece of listener mail that we got a little bit before the show started from Sergeant Foster, who says, "What up, fellas? First, I want to say the new format/scheduling is great. The music breaks are off the chain as well. Now that we're closer to the truth of the new Nintendo system, but still far enough away to wish it had certain features, could you name three things you would want on the system that hasn't been announced but could possibly happen? My choices are, 1, bring back Super Game Boy /Game Boy Player a la DSTV. We've seen the Phoenix Wright emulation on the Wii Shop channel. 2, dual circle pad analogs on the controllers. The one on the 3DS feels so good. 3, Wii Shop channel transferability. Okay, maybe that's not possible unless the system supports SD cards and the Wii would need to be sent a new firmware to allow such transfer. Thoughts?
They better have that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty pissed if they're like, hey, better you know the $200 you spent on the Wii Shop channel over the past 5 years? Don't mean shit no more.
Buy it again. No, if it turns out they don't let us bring over our Wii Shop channel purchases, that's going to be a major, major deterrent in me buying the system.
Yeah,
all,
I mean,
at least at launch. I'll
actually just purchase a pitchfork and march.
I mean, it's the same kind of
Seattle,
thing like how
Tokyo.
I seriously talked about how if DSiWare games weren't allowed to be played on, like you couldn't transfer them to the 3DS, I likely would have boycotted the 3DS. But luckily they did that.
Yeah. But you know what? They're gonna look like butt.
Well, I mean,
anyways,
they'll look like
so.
DS games, which don't look
enjoy.
That bad. I've been playing Plants vs. Zombies DS on it. It looks fine.
Oh, it just drives me nuts.
Doesn't bother me at all. Sorry.
Get over it.
Doesn't bother me.
No.
I understand why you're upset. It does not bother me at all.
I mean, it's not.
I've played 999 on both. If I had to choose between the two systems, clearly I'd pick my DSi.
Oh yeah,
but
I agree.
There you go.
But it's not so much.
See,
that.
I just don't understand why you have to play it on your 3DS. Like, why don't you just play it on your DS? You have a DS.
Yeah, but I don't
want
to have, like, two systems.
And do you, but, like, do you really carry around, like, a little Crown Royal bag with all of your, games tucked in it? Or, what do you do?
Well, I got a little case that, oh, crap. I just remembered that. Andy, I didn't send you that case with Nintendogs, but.
Oh, that's alright.
Anyway.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say, oh, crap, you're not recording.
No.
I had a little heart attack there.
Oh, fuck.
But,
okay.
Anyway, no, I have a case that I got from.
Actually, you know, Nathan, not to give you a heart attack here or anything, but I actually can't tell. whether
during the great case bounty of March 2011, I do have a nice little case that I carry a couple games in. And I, at this point, I have, More DS games than 3DS games in there. And I mean, in all honesty, the 3DS, the way it looks doesn't bother me anymore. Or the way DS games display on it. It bothered me for about a week.
Just settling for less. I don't want to have to put on some beer goggles to play my old DS games.
But Nathan, you're talking to a guy that pretty much sells every video game product he owns that he hasn't used in the last couple of months. I'm not.
But
gonna...
see, I frequently use my XL. I'm
oh yeah, well,
Chrono
I guess
Trigger
maybe if
right
I had
now.
An XL,
not as
would
we
be
speak,
a lot more
but,
of a snob
yeah.
about it.
And see, that's different because the XL brings more features to the table already because it has a larger screen.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you're downgrading screens a lot more than
in
we are.
In all honesty, if
yeah,
I could
see what I'm
in
saying,
my DSi
it is a significant
XL,
downgrade for
I would
me.
Do it because then it's like playing a netbook at my
of
house.
Of course.
Heartbeat.
Of course, it's awesome.
Yeah.
When that thing drops in price, I'm going to be all over it.
As of today, I'm more satisfied with my XL purchase than I am with my 3DS purchase. And that was a redundant purchase. You know, I already had a DS. But enough.
Yeah, but what kind of a DS was it?
It was a light.
Steps up did you upgrade?
Yeah, I went from fat to DSi. I love my DSi, don't get me wrong.
Imagine if you went just from fat to XL. Was that James? Did James do that?
Yeah, he did.
his little mind must have exploded. I don't know why I said little.
Going from the DSi to the 3DS has been a minor but not so jarring that it bothers me change. I can see why it would bother you, but it doesn't bother me so much that I intend to keep both systems long term.
No, should we at some point address listener
mail? We could go back to it. He brought up the point of dual circle pad analogs on the controllers.
I really love the feel of the
circle pads.
Yeah, no.
I think it's a great solution for a handheld where you don't want protruding analog sticks. But at a home system where you have that space available, I just enjoy the feel.
Except for the analog joysticks a lot more. I've been playing PS3 games lately, and I hate that.
You know, it used to bother me, and I'm playing Portal 2 right now. Thank you so much, Andy. It doesn't bug me at all.
I've never really liked the analog system controller though. I kind of wish they would go.
They're too close together. It just hurts my fingers.
They feel kind of loose.
I've expressed my distaste for the octagonal gates before. There's not much tension, and they're too close together.
The 360 controllers analog sticks are pretty damn good.
It is the height of controller technology.
Yeah,
I
really like those too.
I've never used a D-pad in any of my games, so I don't care. I don't play fighting games.
I play Meat Boy with the analog D-pad. Stick.
Yeah, I think it gives you a little bit more control when you're in the air.
But
that's probably true.
Anyways, his third point,
Super Game Boy, Game Boy
we already addressed,
player,
right?
DSTV.
So that's exporting our downloaded DS Virtual Console games to a large screen?
Playing DS games on the
or
TV,
having like a
like
physical
Game Boy player or Super Game Boy.
A physical attach.
Well, if the controller has a touchscreen, then that makes the interface pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I'd like to see it.
But then you're looking at a tiny screen.
Let's each say what we want.
I have three.
Just reiterating.
That's what you I are. Said.
Okay, well, Zach, why don't you go
this
first?
Is awesome. I would like to see persistent online leaderboards.
Well, I mean, don't some Wii games have that?
Persistent online stuff throughout the entire console, like leaderboards.
Yeah. Yeah, a more robust online environment, maybe.
A friendly online
I just don't want it to feel like a ghost town. You know? I want it to feel like somewhere where my friends are.
You know what I'd really like to see?
A place they visit once in a great
while. I would like to see GameCube and Dreamcast games on Virtual Console. I think Dreamcast games are very realistic.
I would love that.
Dreamcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think GameCube games, just because of the sheer size, going back to the other news story with the 8 gig flash memory, that would pretty much make GameCube games almost impossible. But, like, GameCube games on Virtual Console would be really awesome.
Yeah.
I think Dreamcast games are more likely, just as far as from, like, a size standpoint. Especially because, I mean, we're getting, like, you know, what is pretty much a Dreamcast game in MDK2 on WiiWare. So we know that's doable.
Well, for me, aside from Pikmin 2 at launch, I would go with probably... This is discussed on an episode of RFN. Yes, thank you. Sorry.
Pikmin 3.
It's set in the future. This was discussed on an episode of RFN a long time ago, but like, I like the idea of integrating like Facebook with your console. Not the way that Xbox did it. I mean, basically the way Xbox did it is you can log on to the Facebook app on your Xbox and see who else has used that app. But if they could basically just sort of like license their network infrastructure from the Facebook network, so that basically if you have a Facebook account, you have a Wii Online or Wii 2 Online account. And if you're, you know, if you're connected to your Wii 2, you're connected to Facebook and vice versa. So that basically everyone who you're already friends with on Facebook is already, you know, if they have a console, they're already your friend on the console, unless you want to exclude them from that part of your friends list, which you can do on Facebook. You can exclude them from certain parts of your profile. I don't see if they're so bad at putting together an online infrastructure and managing it. They're so bad at that part of technology. Just find someone that's already done it successfully.
Let somebody else
and
do it.
Pay them to do it for them. Pay them to license. That's what I would like to see.
Well, that's Nintendo's been saying that they've regretted going it alone for the Wii and that they might actually start doing.
Well, I think what they meant more by
that
was
the social networks on the planet.
Well, they're weirdly going to plan their first-party releases.
Please don't crush my dreams.
Releases. That seemed to be the point that Iwata was saying about that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. But that just might be nice talk.
I guess all I'm saying is that for all the success that Xbox Live has had, and PSN to a lesser extent, like neither one of them can touch the success of Facebook. It's the single largest social network on the planet. Why not work with them?
They obviously have
taken
baby steps with the DSi connectivity.
Like, just instead of trying to compete with things like Facebook, embrace it. It's already successful. It would be one less account for people to worry about. And I'm sure, like, they don't. I think the real drawback here is Nintendo doesn't like not having control over their shit. And I'm sure working with Facebook would mean giving up a lot of that control. But I don't know. I think it would make for a great user experience.
All right.
Also, Pikmin 3.
Agreed.
Yeah, we know.
I want a hard drive, but I think I made that clear. You want those downloadable GameCube games? No, well, you're not getting
like
that dream.
Hand.
Yeah,
always.
You're right. Just like us, right?
Hands across America.
I think the reason the hard drive thing doesn't
hands across.
The reason the hard drive thing doesn't bother me quite so much is because I used to have a 120 gig Xbox hard drive, and if it weren't for the fact that I could rip my games to that hard drive, I would have never have used more than like a third of it. That's still 30
gigs.
Yeah,
I probably have used about 20. Yeah. And I have a lot of my games ripped to it. That's why I filled it up. But I think, I think I have a 60 gig, and
I
have 30
like
gigs
that.
Left. On my PS3, I've probably barely.
I'm living off flash drives. I'm living off of two 16 gig flash drives on my Xbox right now, and that's it.
But,
and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
My PS3 is down to 40 gigs.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting a little worried.
You got to clean that out, Zach.
Yeah.
When someday the wife
comes,
it'll
take a
long
time.
Through all those
things,
to be fair,
just get rid
heard
of
that if you want to delete stuff on PS3, it takes a while.
To be fair, though, like the fact that I'm living off of flash drives
it
on my
actually
Xbox
does,
now weighs into my purchasing decisions. If there's a game that's on both systems, I'll lean towards the PS3 version just because I don't have to worry about storage space. Until I go out of my way to buy a hard drive for my Xbox, that's the way it's going to have to be, I think.
All right. Well, I think that's a newscast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever accidentally sat down and you kind of sit on your ball?
That's a newscast.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
At newscast at NintendoWorldReport.com.
And email us at newscast@NintendoWorldReport.com. Hit us up in the TalkBack thread. We love talking to people. And, if you have any words to say to us, let's throw out some kind of bait for you guys. What do you think Nintendo is going to announce for the Wii at E3? If you get this far, drop us a line on newscast@NintendoWorldReport.com or, hit us up in the TalkBack thread and say, you know, banana hammock, and then tell us what games you want to see announced for the Wii at E3.
Very good.
And have you ever sat on your ball accidentally?
What's your problem? You're just a despicable human being.
Goodbye, everybody.
You're just some sort of nutcase.
Good night.
I just... Good night.
Bye.
Hi, and welcome to NWR Newscast episode 52. I'm your host this week, Neil Ronahan. And with me, we have the three usual guys, Mr. Andy Gergen, Mr. Zachary Miller.
I guess we're just going through it.
Mr. Nathan Mustafa.
You're not going to let me talk, are you? So I'll talk over you.
No time for introductions.
No. But we have a special guest. We have Rob Olberg.
Yes.
Probably should have asked you how to say your last name. All right, cool. He's the founder of Street Pass Princeton, which, as you might know, with the 3DS coming out, we have a bunch of these Street Pass groups popping up around the country. And Street Pass Princeton is located in Princeton, New Jersey. I live nearby that, so I talked to Rob. I'm going to be attending the event, which is, Rob, on?
Oh, on Facebook.com/StreetPassPrinceton. And we also have a Twitter page, which is Twitter.com/SPPrinceton.com.
So for your first event, what's your goal as far as, like, what do you want to achieve from it? And what's going to happen there?
At least 5 street passes.
I hope.
That's a modest number for an event.
There actually have been other groups that have done really poorly, and they only had maybe like 3 or 5. So that's why I decided to wait a little bit longer, because I know that Princeton's a smaller area. But already between me and a bunch of my friends, it's already like 10 street passes right there, easily. And then there's all the other people that are coming from New York and Philly and all the other locations. So I'm sure there'll be at least 20 or 30 people at the worst case scenario. And then maybe there might be like upwards of 60 or more at the best.
Is this this is the first event you'll have attended, the one that you're running?
I actually went to the New York event, and I'm actually on Nintendo Week, like, in a couple of shots. And my Mii's on
it. Hey, man, you and me both. We're both on Nintendo Week. How cool is that?
We just have so much in common.
I know.
Yeah, sing a song on Nintendo Week.
We live near... Yeah, I don't watch the Photo Dojo episode from last year. It is embarrassing. However, I have a baller trophy.
Oh, wait, did you win that?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
Excellent.
It was all over Twitter.
I'm curious. You know, some of the questions I had about Street Pass in general were like things like how accurate it is. Like there had been some talk amongst the staff at NWR about like people had gotten together with their friends who should have Street Passed but it didn't work. I'm kind of curious if you've had like 100% Street Pass ratio on the people you expected to have a Street Pass with and things like that. I mean, have you ever had the Street Pass function not work when you were around people that it should have worked with?
Well, like with my twin, his 3DS actually goes off. We live on like different floors. I live on like the second floor, and he lives on like the first floor. So it actually works with even like the ridiculous amount of feet between us and walls and whatnot. It works really well. But sometimes when you meet with certain people, it doesn't Street Pass. I don't know what the specific problem with that, if there's like a bug or something within the system that could be hammered out with a system update. But sometimes there is like occasional hiccups where it doesn't work, but for the most part, it usually tends to work when you meet up with other people.
Yeah, like I had a problem. Staff member, staff writer Josh Max, he's from around this area too, although he's up in a college in Vermont right now, so he won't be attending the event. But I was hanging out with him shortly after the 3DS came out, and despite the fact that we were hanging out together for several hours with our with our 3DSs ready to Street Pass, we didn't Street Pass at all. Have you heard anything about how apparently when you're connected to the internet, you can't Street Pass at all? And is that true, or is that just an urban legend?
Well, there is some truth to it because, you know, it's using Spot Pass, but it can still use Street Pass. Like, it does affect it to a certain degree, but not to the point where it wouldn't let you, like, completely not Street Pass. It would just slow down the activity of doing Street Pass in terms of communicating data. The best way to do Street Pass that I've found is you start up an application or a game, you wait a little bit, then you hit the home button, and then once you hit the home button, you wait for it to say Street Pass. If it doesn't say Street Pass on the main screen, go back into the game, wait a little bit longer, then hit home again, wait for it to say Street Pass, and then close it. And that tends to be the best way for me to do it. Like, even when I hit the power button, it says put it in sleep mode, so you do Street Pass.
It'll just say, like, enabled or something like that.
Yeah, like that. Usually if it says enabled, that means that Street Pass is not on. It has to say that Street Pass is on in the main screen, and there has to be a little wireless thing flashing, and that's when you know Street Pass is on, and that's when you should close your 3DS so you can get the content for the Miis and Street Fighter and all the other games.
Yeah, I finally got my first Street Fighter figurine battle thing. That's cool as hell.
I'm really looking forward to Dead or Alive Dimensions, because Dead or Alive Dimensions is actually going to take you and your stats, how you play in Dead or Alive, and it'll take your stats, and if you're really good, you're going to be really good when you do Street Pass with other people, but if you suck, you're going to suck against other people when you use Street Pass in Dead or Alive. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm also looking forward to how it's going to use Spot Pass by introducing new costumes every single day for a month after the game launches.
Are you also aware that Dead or Alive Dimensions is in Triple D?
Yes, there will be 3Ds.
Oh, yes.
It'll be like Piranha 3DD, the sequel.
I need to see that still.
It's pretty good. I mean, we shouldn't discuss it more because that'd be a tangent.
It's just a whole entirely separate world that Zach lives in, I think.
So I'm kind of curious, in your experience, like, I know that there's been talk of, like, driving by someone in your car when you have a 3DS and they have a 3DS, like, and I'm curious how long it takes for the spot or the Street Pass to, like, take into effect. Like, if you drove by someone who had it, would that be too fast for it to work? Have you had any experience, like, testing, like, how much contact you actually have to have with someone for it to work?
I know that you don't have to have much at all. I mean, I can just breeze through the GameStop in and out and have, like, 3 Street Passes.
Yeah, it also, the other factors that obviously, you know, play into it is, you know, your environmental situations. So, I mean, if you're going really fast in a car and they're going really fast in a car, it's probably going to scramble the signal a little bit. But obviously, if you're stopped in the middle of traffic, I'm sure you could possibly send a signal out fast enough and just get on the way.
I've actually done PictoChat between cars, and it works.
Yeah, nice. I know there's legendary stories of from E3 2006, because we had a crew of like something like, I think, 12 plus people or something like that. So they had two cars, and they were doing PictoChat in L.A. traffic.
Yeah, no, it totally works. We've done it at freeway speeds, so, you know,
yeah,
stuff is fun.
That's pretty slick. So, like, what all happens at one of your Street Pass events? I mean, I assume people, you know, bring their DSs or their 3DSs. I would imagine there's probably a little bit of
It's going to be that one guy who's going to be like, you guys still got Dragon Quest IX, right?
Hey, I'd bring it.
Yeah.
That guy's going to be very disappointed.
Oh, yeah. At the New York City Street Pass event and at the other Street Pass events, they mostly focus on just doing Street Pass. And, I mean, some of them have some activities to do, but they don't really push it as much as I would like them to. So my goal to do with Street Pass Princeton, just besides just doing Street Pass, is also to talk to local businesses and see if they're interested in doing events at their shops, and also doing more activities like contests. Like, one of the contests we're going to have at this Street Pass event is a QR code contest where you have to scan 20 Miis in the Panera room, and the 4 top people have to duke it out in Street Fighter, and the winner basically gets a $5 GameStop gift card, a poster, and a huge AR card.
Awesome. That sounds pretty cool.
So, and also we're going to have big AR cards and different sized AR cards all over the room with the food and on chairs, so you can take pictures of yourself with Mario, with Link, Metroid or any other character for that matter, or on the wall just
I believe, did our guest just refer to Samus as Metroid?
Well, there is the Metroid hat that you can use on your Nintendog. And a Samus hat.
Okay. I'll let it slide.
All right. Wait, you could use a Metroid head for the Nintendog?
Yeah, I've had it pop up a couple times. I don't know if it was like a glitch, because I know it's supposed to be the Samus one.
If you put a Metroid on your Nintendog, doesn't it die?
I don't know. Maybe somehow they just feed off of each other. They just create this relationship with the Nintendog.
Your dog becomes very vulnerable to cold.
Yeah, maybe it just gets put. You put it in a cage, and you just go. The last Metroid is in captivity.
Yeah.
Har har.
So for posterity, when is
so
what's the date
Princeton
of your,
Street Pass first event is going to be on May 13th on a Friday, from 2 to 6 o'clock. There's going to be free food and drinks for all people that have 3DSs that come to the event. The AR cards will also be there. There'll also be the QR Me contest.
Where is it at?
It's at Panera on 134 Nassau Street in Princeton, New Jersey.
Awesome.
And also there's going to be other activities, of course, besides Street Pass. And then the posters that we're going to be giving away as well, the AR cards that we're going to be giving away. We're also going to have a logo contest because our group doesn't have a logo yet, so we really want people to contribute that, and also we want people to contribute by taking pictures, of course, and every month we're going to change the picture on our profile pic for both the Twitter and the Facebook. Nice. And it'll be whoever the winner is for that month.
Cool. Very good.
And I mean, you talked about I guess working with local businesses. Do you plan on doing them all at the Panera Bread, or do you want to branch out? And if you do want to branch out, are there any other locations around the area that you have in mind?
Well, there's a small place called Twist, and there's another yogurt shop. And I was thinking that those would be, like, really great places because they're, like, really good hangout places and stuff like that. And then there's also the Princeton Battlefield, and then there's a bunch of parks and stuff like that. So I really just want to engage the community and then get other people and other groups involved as well to do Street Pass, just so people can talk and get together.
Have you considered maybe a strip club? get some really good 3D screenshots.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Or you could go to to a playground. A whole bunch of
what
older men looking for kids to Street Pass with.
Zach, I made a gross joke.
Zach,
I made a
stop
gross
telling
joke
us
so
what
you
did this afternoon.
And then you just took it to a whole lower level. I don't know how you did it. I was... Oh, my God.
Or you could take the little kids at the park.
Strip clubs and little kids. That's what we're all about.
And teach them how to
take
3D pictures of cinnamon and...
Zach, all I'm going to say is... We
Zach,
would like to play.
You have to stop talking now.
All right. I think...
There's a 3D picture for you.
I'm sorry.
I think that just about wraps it up. Rob, do you have anything final you'd like to say to our listeners, hopefully people that live around the Princeton, New Jersey area?
Well, I mean, of course, there's the university as well, and this is mostly just an event in Princeton. But there's also a Central New Jersey one, and I'm sure there'll be other events popping up around New Jersey and New York and other locations. But this is strictly just in Princeton because there is a lot of activities and businesses to hold events at.
Yeah.
But I just mostly hope that people get together, they do Street Pass, but they also participate in the contests, and it also engages people in ways that they've never engaged with their Nintendo 3DS before with other people. And with other users in general.
Awesome. That sounds pretty excellent. Thanks for coming on. And once again, Street Pass Princeton's first event is at the Panera Bread in Princeton on May 13th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Looking forward to it.
I am too.
Thanks for joining us, Rob. Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. You're all definitely invited to the event, so you guys can definitely stop by.
I'll start
it's
walking.
It's an all-day event.
Yeah. The way I see it is Zach hitches a ride on the Caribou. I drive up to Seattle, grab him. We cut through wherever the hell Andy
is. Rob, I'm the only person remotely close to New Jersey.
Even their mother.